this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. Let's start with an article from AARP, the magazine, under the heading of Real People. Inspiring stories of friends and neighbors in their own words. Let's start with A Horse is a Horse. The Tiny Visitors. For Faith San Severino, training animals is all about connections. I always liked to visit older people, so I would go to nursing homes. Many people bring a dog to visit, or maybe a cat. In 2010, I thought, what if I walked in with a miniature horse? I knew people wouldn't believe their eyes. Sky was my first, a champagne-colored mini. I bought myself a Honda Element and put her in the back to go on visits. Then a girlfriend said, oh my gosh, I would love to do that. Can you find me a horse and train it for me? I said, sure. And then another lady would say the same thing, and then another. The moment you look at a miniature horse, you're filled with joy. I have one named Buffalo that's about 21 inches high. There are no miniature horses in the wild. They were bred down, and it took about 400 years. They can pull carts, but they are not meant for riding. We train the miniature horses and therapy certify them so they are confident when going upstairs and in elevators. The training can take from a couple of months to nearly a year. My horses have to be able to maneuver carefully to jump into and out of a van, truck, or large SUV. I train them for clients who want to take them visiting. I love going into Alzheimer's units because some people say, oh my, what kind of dog is that? You'll say, it's a horse. And they'll say, oh, for heaven's sake. It brings them joy. I think the real reason I do all this is because of my aunt. When she got Alzheimer's, they stuck her in a state-run facility to live. I had no power to get her out of there or take care of her myself. It broke my heart. I would visit her, and one time I held her hand and said, hi, Aunt Mary. She had been quite confused for a long time, but out of nowhere she looked at me and said, Faithy, you're a good girl. I thought, we don't know what they know. We have to always treat them with respect and love and honor. And this story was as told to Leslie Quander Wooldridge. Faith San Severino, 65, operates the Faith Friends Mini Horse Therapy Center in San Diego. And another one of these good stories, Saving Our Heritage, One Plant at a Time, how farmer Ira Wallace became the godmother of Southern seeds. My grandmother raised me, and I learned to garden at her side in Tampa, Florida. So I've always been interested in how our food is grown. After college, I traveled the world and learned different organic gardening methods. But it wasn't until the 1980s that I started thinking about the plants we were losing as agriculture became more corporate, more homogenized. Family farmers have been saving and handing down seeds for generations, but big companies thrive on uniformity. Not all these different fruit and vegetables varieties that might not pack or travel well, or that might thrive only in one area. So, as small farms got bought up by the big players in agriculture, it became harder to maintain the seeds for these varieties of plants. And once the seed is lost, it's gone forever. In response, I started growing heirloom fruits and vegetables, saving seeds and teaching others to do the same. In 1993, I became one of the founders of Acorn Community Farm in Central Virginia. It's an egalitarian, income-sharing community where about 20 of us live and work. We started producing seeds for a small company called Southern Exposure Seed Exchange, and in 1999, the company's founder helped us assume cooperative ownership of the exchange. Since then, the business has grown and grown. Last year, we worked with almost 100 farmers to produce seeds. We also provide information about seed saving. I'm the one that people tend to come to for advice. One of the cooperatives we work with even gave me the nickname, the godmother of southern seeds. Tomatoes are a gateway plant for seed saving because a perfectly ripe tomato has perfectly ripe seeds. And once you start saving seeds, you tend to keep going. This article was as told to Beth Levine. Ira Wallace, 74, of Mineral, Virginia, is the author of several books, including The Timber Press Guide to Vegetable Gardening in the Southeast. Now, an article from AARP of the Bulletin, Under Your Money, Live Well for Less, what store am I really shopping in? Many vendors operate within the biggest retail websites. How to know which ones are safe? You searched Amazon. You found what you were looking for on Amazon, and you clicked buy on Amazon. Odds are, however, you didn't actually buy from Amazon. More than 60% of the site's sales are made by other vendors, the company says. Amazon isn't the only major retailer that is expanding its business as a middleman. Walmart, Target, Macy's, Chewy, Best Buy, and J. Crew, among others, also run what are known as third-party marketplaces. In other words, these retailers are operating less like a store and more like a mall or a flea market. But these marketplaces can be a crazy mix of sellers, ranging from large corporations to people working out of their garage. Product quality and customer service can vary dramatically. Items sold by third-party sellers may not be properly manufactured, stored, handled, or ethically sourced, because they operate outside major retailers' supply chains, explains Carrie Camel, director of the Center for Anti-Counterfeiting and Product Protection at Michigan State University. You could be buying stolen, expired, recalled, or counterfeit products. The new Inform Consumers Act, which requires retailers to protect buyers from shady third-party sellers, should help, but the law won't eliminate bad actors, Camel says. Here's how to shop more safely. Check out the seller. One easy way to protect yourself is to buy directly from the retailer that runs the website. You can usually find the seller's name on the product page near the button for buying the item. Otherwise, click the seller's name for more information, including its product selection. A random mishmash could be a red flag, Camel says. Also, read user reviews, not just ratings. One way to filter out potentially fake reviews and unreliable sellers is to use FakeSpot software. And you find that at fakespot.com. Locate the shipper. By the seller's name on Amazon, look for the ships from info. It's important. This summer, when my dad was shopping for an outdoor lounge cushion, he saw something odd. Both the shipper and shipping time changed depending on the cushion's color. The red version shipped by Amazon would arrive in 2 days. Other colors sold and shipped by a Chinese seller would take weeks. If you need to return an item to anywhere overseas, you may have to pay a fortune. Spot return gotchas. When buying from third parties, pay special attention to each product's return policies, including costs. You may have some protections. Walmart, for example, lets you return third-party items to its stores. But Amazon's A to Z guarantee has a lot of fine print. We get many emails from customers confused about whom to contact when something goes wrong, said Rob Gross, co-founder of FakeSpot, and that's usually because they bought from a third-party seller who disappeared. This article was by Lisa Lee Freeman, who is the founder and editor-in-chief of ShopSmart magazine from Consumer Reports. Now, here we have great ways to save winter clothing. Shop your closet first. If you haven't looked at your winter clothing since the last snow day, take stock of what you already have. It's a good reminder of items you have so you don't end up overspending and purchasing something you thought you needed but had forgotten about, says Julie Ramhold, a consumer analyst with Deal News, a comparison shopping website. Search for secondhand digital deals. In addition to your local thrift shop and online resale sites such as ThredUp and Poshmark, a growing number of retailers, including Lululemon, Levi's, and Saks OFF 5TH, have selections of their stores or sites where you can purchase pre-owned items. Plus, you may be able to get some money back for selling those items you're looking to part with. Share your information. Online retailers frequently offer 15 to 20% off to new shoppers who share their email addresses when visiting the site. If you're worried about inbox clutter, you can create a separate email address for this purpose, or simply unsubscribe as soon as you receive the discount code. Check out a warehouse store. Though you may not think about buying in bulk when it comes to clothing, it can be a great way to save on basics such as winter socks or thermal underwear. Be bold on Black Friday. Department and big box stores frequently offer their best prices on sets of accessories such as hats, gloves, and scarves, as well as coats and boots during the biggest holiday shopping day of the year. By the time you hear this, we'll be past that, though. Or wait until January. If you don't have an urgent need for an item, delaying your purchase until the new year will yield better prices. The best time to buy winter clothes is after you no longer need them that season, says Kimberly Palmer, a spokeswoman with personal finance website Nerd Wallet. Now from the bulletin, under Your Money, let's look at a new way to get fast cash. Big banks roll out cheaper alternatives to payday loans. Short on cash and needing some fast? If you've run through your emergency funds, you may have a new option for borrowing small amounts of money at a relatively low cost. Some of the largest American banks now offer what are known as small dollar loans, either low interest or flat fee loans of different sizes up to $1,000, available almost immediately and with few application hurdles. Often less expensive than running up a credit card balance, these loans are significantly cheaper than typical payday loans, which charge high effective interest rates and must be repaid quickly. Because small dollar loans require no collateral, you don't risk having your vehicle repossessed as you might if you fall behind on a title loan. By last fall, banks operating about 23% of all branches in the U.S. were offering these loans: Bank of America, Huntington Regions, Truist, U.S. Bank, and Wells Fargo. We've been monitoring financial products for many years and review these small-dollar bank loans as a better opportunity for consumers than payday loans, said Lori Trenwinski, Director of Finance and Employment at the AARP Public Policy Institute. I think it's almost like a throwback to how banking used to be, when you would do business with a local bank and the bank would know you, and people were often able to get credit because of the relationship they had with the local bank. These small dollar loans, typically available only to banks' current customers, have a straightforward application process. Approvals and funding can happen almost immediately. Terms and requirements vary by bank. To get a loan through Bank of America's Balance Assist, for example, you need to have a qualifying checking account at Bank of America that's been open for at least a year, 2.5 years if you don't have a credit score. Maintain a positive balance in all your checking accounts and make regular monthly deposits into your account. For U.S. banks' simple loan, you need to have a personal checking account open for at least 6 months with 3 months of recurring direct deposits. In both cases, the bank will check your credit. The application is on the bank's website and mobile banking app. We know when consumers are in financial distress, they focus on speed to get the money. It's a sure thing, and how long will it take to get approved? Said Alex Horowitz, principal officer focusing on consumer finance for the Pew Charitable Trusts. These loans are available 24/7. You can get it from your phone or laptop, and the money is in your account within minutes. Most small dollar loans come with a specific repayment schedule, 3 to 4 monthly payments in equal installments, with the first payment due 30 days after the money lands in your account. Those payments are typically deducted from the account where the funds were originally deposited. In this way, these short-term loans are unlike a credit card balance, which comes with no repayment deadline, just the obligation to make a minimum monthly payment. Small dollar loans are, for the most part, also unlike payday loans. If you don't fully repay a payday loan on time, the outstanding balance can typically be rolled into a subsequent loan. A small dollar bank loan usually has to be paid off completely before you can take out a new one. Before you take out any loan, you want to be sure that you understand the terms and obligations of repayment: fees, interest rate, minimum payment, and deadline for repaying it off, Trawinski says. That's especially true if you're used to having payday loans, which are often rolled over. The effective interest rate you pay on these loans can vary based on the bank you use and, in some cases, the size of the loan. The annual percentage rate, APR, for Regions Protection Line of Credit, for example, is currently 12%, compared with the national average rate of more than 20% for credit cards. The flat fees attached to other loan translate into different interest rates based on the size of the fee and the amount of time you have to repay the loan. Bank of America's Balance Assist, for example, costs $5 per loan, no matter the size, and must be paid back in 3 months. That translates into an APR of as little as 6% for a $500 loan and nearly 30% for a $100 loan. Even at the high end, these rates can be much lower than other options for people who have a difficult time obtaining credit. The government's Consumer Financial Protection Bureau points out that terms for a typical payday loan, a fee of $15 per $100, and a 2-week repayment period result in an APR of almost 400%. As with any other loan, late repayments or failure to repay may negatively affect your credit score. Not repaying on time may also reduce your chances of getting a future small dollar loan from the same institution. These new loan programs came after federal regulators expressed concerns that too many bank customers with low balances in their accounts were being tripped up by complicated overdraft rules, resulting in expensive fees. So alongside their introduction of small dollar loans, most of these banks have modified their overdraft rules to be less financially burdensome. Consumers are on track to save more than $5 billion annually because of the overdraft changes, Horowitz says. Low-cost loans may also be available at credit unions and some smaller banks. The National Credit Union Administration allows for 2 different types of payday alternative loans to be offered by federal credit unions: a loan of up to $1,000, which has to be repaid in 1 to 6 months, and a loan of up to $2,000 that must be repaid in 1 to 12 months. 6 years ago, there were 0 major banks offering these small installment loans or lines of credit, Horowitz said. We expect that this will continue to spread. Now, here's a quick summary. Bank of America Balance Assist. Maximum size is $500, cost is $5 per loan, and repayment requirements is 3 months. Huntington Standby Cash, maximum is $500, cost none if repaid automatically in time, otherwise 12% APR on balance, and repayment requirements 3 months. Regions Protection Line of Credit, $500 max, 12% APR. Minimum monthly payment, the greater of 10% of outstanding balance, or $5 a month. Truist Cash Reserve, a maximum of $750, 18% APR, and 4 months to repay it. U.S. Simple Loan, $1,000 max, $6 per $100 balance borrowed, and 3 months to repay it. And finally, Wells Fargo Flex Loan, a maximum of $500, The fees are $12 for a $250 loan, $20 for a $500 loan, and 4 months in which to repay them. Now, a couple of tips for Medicare Made Easy. Question, I heard there are Medicare plans that specialize in diabetes. How do they work? Answer, a special needs plan, SNP, is a type of Medicare Advantage plan available to three categories of beneficiaries, those with chronic conditions, those also enrolled in Medicaid, and those who live in a nursing home or other long-term care situation. In that first category, SNPs cover conditions such as diabetes, end-stage renal disease, and heart disease. These plans provide prescription drug coverage, often at a lower cost, and may have lower copays for specialists. An SNP may also cover a longer hospital stay if needed. As of June, enrollment in these plans exceeded 6 million Medicare beneficiaries. To find one, go to Medicare.gov and click on Find Plans Now, or you can call 800-633-4227. Question, Medicare won't pay for a piece of medical equipment that my doctor says I need. Is there anything I can do? Answer, yes. You can appeal the decision. If you have original Medicare, look at your quarterly Medicare summary notice, or check your claims by logging into your account on Medicare.gov. Find the item that was denied and send your appeal to the Medicare contractor at the address listed on the MSN. Ask your healthcare provider for any information that may help your case. If you have an Advantage plan, you'll file your appeal with that plan. The process varies depending on the insurer. Want help? Contact the State Health Insurance Assistance Program, SHIP, in your state. Their counselors can help you file an appeal. Go to shiphealth.org or call 877-839-2675, toll free to find your state's program. Now let's go back to AARP, the magazine, and look at a few more real people. Putting the grandkids to work. When Molly and Cappy Rupert received a dilapidated restaurant, they made it a family affair. Raymond Cappy Rupert, my family owned a hardware store in Washington, D.C., but business in the neighborhood dropped off and the store eventually closed. Molly Rupert, in the 90s, my son Paul and I turned the vacant warehouse into a 120-seat theater and an art gallery. We also opened a foodie restaurant by taking over the first floor of Cappy's real estate office and making him move upstairs. The restaurant became pretty well known, and we sold it to the chef, Cappy. We raised our kids in D.C., but we've had a summer cottage an hour away near the Chesapeake Bay for the last 50 years. Molly, to be honest, the idea for our current restaurant is on the bay was an accident. Cappy, we have a little boat and would pass by the building on our way to the beach. We would see this shuttered restaurant with docks sinking into the water more and more every year. Cappy, in 2013, we saw that the property was for sale. So we said, oh, this is a project. I had just finished 54 years in the construction and property management business and was ready to retire. Molly, but I like starting impossible businesses, and he likes building impossible buildings. Cappy, we ran into lots of trouble with the plans and the engineering. We didn't break ground until 2018, and it took 2 years to rebuild after that. Then we opened in the middle of the pandemic and couldn't find any help. But we've got 6 children and 18 grandchildren, and we pressed many of our grandchildren into service. That's why we're open only in the summertime. Kids go back to school after that. Molly, I jokingly told my children, I know you're grateful for what I've done for your children. None of them are going to want to go into the restaurant business. Cappy, the kids have learned a lot over the last couple of years, though. Molly, it's great when you have the opportunity to do something new, don't you think? One of the reasons that we do these things is that it's a challenge. Cappy, but it's also fun. I get a lot of enjoyment out of working and helping people, and people show their appreciation. The restaurant is doing well. It's a comfortable atmosphere. Molly, do I think I can do whatever I set my mind to? I have no idea. I just like to do things, and he likes to build things. I'm good with failure. I've had plenty of it in my life and lots of successes. This was as told to Shayla Martin. Raymond Cappy Rupert is 86. He's a retired builder and a property manager. His wife, Molly, 85, puts together art shows. They own Cappy's on Rockhold Creek in Deal, Maryland. Now let's look at a big 5-0, Kristen Wiig, W-I-I-G. Her birthday was August 22nd. The Saturday Night Live alum is responsible for such cult classic comedy hits as 2011's Bridesmaids and 2021's Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar, a zany Technicolor fantasia in which she and her bridesmaids co-writer Annie Mornolo play a pair of middle-aged Nebraskans who travel to a fantastical vision of Florida. Next up, Wiig is returning to the Sunshine State for the Apple TV Plus comedy series Palm Royale, starring as Maxine Simmons, a woman who sets her sight on conquering Palm Beach High Society circa 1970, alongside an ensemble that includes Laura Dern, Allison Janney, and Ricky Martin. But these days, her most exciting role might be that of mom. In 2020, at age 46, she and comedic actor Abby Rothman welcomed twins via a surrogate. "It's the best," she told Entertainment Tonight. "I know everyone always says that, and everyone says it changes how you look at the world and how you see love. And all of that stuff is so true." More milestone birthdays. Dave Chappelle, August 24th, comedian, recently won a fourth Grammy for controversial stand-up album, The Closer. John Stamos, August 19th, actor, glad to be an older dad to Billy, age 5, has said, "I couldn't have handled it earlier." And finally, Tori Amos, August 22nd, musician, co-wrote a graphic novel celebrating her 1992 album, Little Earthquakes, and she is 60. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. To be sure and listen at the same time next week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.